Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee was founded in 2014 by Ed and Courtney Lemix alongside their son, Brett. The delicious DeLuna blends are a product of Ed's discerning palate for the finest coffee beans on the planet, and Brett's business acumen has them on the national radar for quality. Savor the simplicity of Graffiti Bridge, 100% Colombian beans roasted to a city roast for optimal flavor. Ed and Brett are both FSU alums and are extending a special offer to our listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta, jacking hammers and bows. Back to the Mackin' and jacking the clothes. Adolescents packing a foe.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee, DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Promo code WARCHANT15. Those salted caramels, 15% off. Just use that promo code, y'all. WARCHANT30. That's the promo code to get you 30 free days of access to the ultimate Semel sports source. You know, browse the web, browse the website, the forums, munch on some caramels, live the dream, and get to read Corey Clark's fantastic content. 5-star review and rating and a thumbs up on YouTube. Corey Clark's here, winding the week down. Corey, you, your well-being, how would you describe it?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Brady's finished up, or will be finishing up, Leonard Hamilton camp this morning. And then I just got to watch the Hawks, I guess, achieve the largest comeback in franchise history in a playoff game, no less. So that was pretty exciting. As an Atlanta sports fan, I'm kind of used to those moments, though. I mean, it's just another year, man. This is what we do. I didn't care. I can tell you this: when they were down 26, I was telling Brady, "It's not over. You got to believe." Or I told him it was a good series. I'm pleased with the Hawks' progress, and maybe we'll get them next year. Wait. And then we come back. I turn on the TV, and they're only down by 11. And I'm like, you know what? I'll stick with it. And then they end up winning the game. Pretty unreal.
They were down by 26 and they won?
Yeah, they were down 62-36.
Oh my god.
In the first half. I think they were down 22 late in the third quarter too, and they still came back and won. I think they finished the game on a 14-0 run, and the Sixers, they outscored the Sixers 40-19 in the fourth quarter.
My gosh. Was the game in Philly or Atlanta, cuz I'm in the A right now. I'm in your hood in
Philly. It's Philly. It was in Philly, man, but I bet if you went out to Atlanta right now and just started honking your horn, people'd be honking with you.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to see what this city's made of. I'm going to try to get some late night food right now. This is the city that never sleeps, right? So hopefully a little better luck than trying to get something after 9 p.m. in Tallahassee, aka
Correct.
College town, aka not really a college town.
Gosh. It is bizarre. I don't know when it comes to, like, we're still in the after effects of COVID, like if places that are normally open till midnight or two would still be open or still doing that now in June of 2021. But you give it a try, man. There's some good places out there that stay open late.
I will. Real quick, Corey.
Waffle House, for example.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. Corey sounds like he's calling in from Mars because his computer isn't working, but it's still good quality audio. It's not you and I in a recording booth laying down Fleetwood Mac magic, but it'll do. It's June, y'all.
Right.
Also,
and the computer, it's an operator error. It's my fault. It's not Gene's fault. It's not Ward Chant's fault. Corey screwed it up, and I apologize to you, dear listener.
I got a W on Wednesday, Corey. So I got a rental car and I show up and there's no rental cars. There's like a rental car shortage because of COVID. And they're like, you know, if you want to wait 30, 45 minutes, we should have another car. And I'm like, there's no guarantee someone's going to show up with their, you know, car. They can hold it for longer. It's like, yeah, we can't promise you anything. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll roll the dice. And I feel bad. His name is Daniel. Shout out if anybody knows Daniel at the Enterprise kiosk at the Tallahassee airport. But he comes over to me like this conquering hero. He's like, "Hey man, would an Audi A3 work for you?" And I'm like, "Whatever, man. I need four tires and a steering wheel." And dude, I'm sold. Is there anything that's more personifies me than an Audi you know, like slightly pretentious.
Right.
Probably.
But not BMW pretentious.
Right. But yeah. Still thinking that you're like a luxury brand, but you really don't belong. You know, just I've never felt more myself than driving this thing. And now I want to get rid of my Toyota and get an Audi.
Well, do it, man. You only live once. I think there's a saying about that. So, man, go for it. Go for it. Live that Audi life.
All right. Yeah, it was a fantastic drive from Tallahassee to Atlanta. I don't know how you do it so often, Corey. I'm going to nominate you for Esquire's Father of the Year because right. it's just that alone, the drive. What a horrendous drive. There's just no nice
well,
way
Well, and think
to get...
about it, man. You still have like an hour to go to get to my house.
Right.
Because I'm on the north side. Way up on the north side. So, you didn't even get – you only did 80% of my drive.
I know. I missed out on most of the traffic, thankfully. All right, sorry for all that nonsense. I apologize, everybody. Look in the item description.
Tell people what you're doing in Atlanta.
Oh, five-star challenge, rivals.com. Michael Langston's here, camping out, talking to all the kids. Alou Ba, big-time offensive lineman from IMG. Georgia now in the picture. He's going to take an official visit, but he says he's still solid. He's here to help build the brand that Coach Norvell has helped start up in Florida State. So we're here to cover him. Julian Armella is supposed to be here. Jaleel Skinner, tight end out of South Carolina at 6'5", 215-ish, but he's going to play receiver at Florida State if he does commit. Sounds like he's leaning towards coming to Florida State. So here for the five-star challenge. Thursday, they're going to be doing all the drills and all the workouts, so we'll have plenty of coverage from that. There should be a video, actually, with one-on-one with Michael and Alou talking about this Georgia flying the ointment thing. So we're out here working. Ira was covering recruiting with Austin the other day. You're writing stories about basketball. You're at the basketball camp. We do this thing 365, everybody. Every single waking minute, every single day. We're just out here working for you folks, so just know that. Know that. We love you, even when you say mean things to us. You never say mean things to Corey, but you know what I'm saying. When I say us, it really just means me.
Right.
Let's get back to the Renegade Express questions. This was part two from our guy Mark in Naples. Give me eight teams when it comes to the college football playoff. Five Power Five conference winners, and then your highest ranked group of five conference winner, then two at large. I don't like 12 teams in the sense that there are four teams that get a bye in the first round. What is the point of that? These are still college kids. They don't need to be playing games well into the spring. Thanks as always. Go Noles. First off,
well,
Corey,
they wouldn't go.
I was guilty of the worst thing that we can do this day and age, which is just reading the headline and not reading the story. And Sports Illustrated reported that apparently there's talk of staying at a 4-team model, maybe going to an 8-team model. I didn't get the details on it, but one of the things they did put in the headline was they were going to start seeding the teams after the bowl season. How awesome would that be? Like if that was like a week 13 and they played those games out, then they seeded everything for the playoffs. Like Texas A&M would not have been a team making the playoff after the way they squeaked by North Carolina. I kind of like that thing, but again, we'll focus 12 teams, probably 2023, four teams get a bye. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know about that part you were talking about with the seeding after the bowls. I don't even quite know how that would work. Like, teams are going to play a bowl game, and then you decide who's in the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just do the normal thing. Yeah. Like, you know, your ACC champion goes to the Orange Bowl, and the other, you know, whatever. What is ACC, and who else gets into the SEC sometimes in the Orange Bowl? Orange Bowl is just Orange Bowl's a vagabond. But nonetheless, continue. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So the reason that I like 8 more than 12 is, you know, I was about to say because it's four more teams. Which it is. I mean, I can do simple math. I grew up in Georgia. I know what's what. I know numbers. But it's that many more teams that are in contention. And I think when you give the top four seeds a bye, well, then the four teams that got a bye, there's something to fight for. And that's why I also like the home field advantage thing. If they're on home fields, if they do the first round on home sites, I think that's something else to play for. Like, okay, great. You got in as a 12 seed. Well, that's great. But you have to go to the 5 seed, and you have to play in their stadium. And then if you beat them, you got to play the 1. So there is an inherent advantage for being one of the top 4 teams. I don't – if it's 1 through 8, to me, like in the playoff – in the NFL playoffs, teams get byes. You know, that's just – I think that's fair. I think that's a way to do it. You get a bye, and you get to play two teams. That's the reward for having the better season. And again, do I agree with how they judge who had a better season? Of course not. Who could? But in their eyes, these top four teams, one through four, had the better season, so they get rewarded with a slightly easier, not slightly, an easier path to a championship, which I think is fair. But the teams 5 through 12 are still alive. They still get a chance. We've seen wild card teams win a Super Bowl. We've seen wild card teams win World Series. It happens.
No way. No way. Not in our lifetime. We'll never see a 12 seed. We'll never see an 11 seed.
Oh, no, but you might see a nine seed.
I don't think so.
A 12 seed might be Georgia with three losses. Like, that can happen, and they get healthy or something. I mean, not every 12 seed is Coastal Carolina.
Right.
Like, you know, Florida State in 16 would have been an 11 seed. Now, that team's probably not winning a national championship. But they beat Michigan in that first game. So now they're in the quarterfinals or semifinals, however that would work. Anyway, I think that I like the 12 because it does give those top four teams. No, I would be okay with 8 too if, like, maybe the first round the top four seeds got to host. I think that's cool for those schools and for those programs if they're deemed to be the top four teams. But I like the whole thing. I like 12 because I liked it. Hopefully you can have a couple of non-Power 5 teams instead of just one. And you can also have you get to have home playoff games for teams that seemingly deserve it, we hope, we think. And then the four top teams do get a bye. And that is a big deal. That does make it a little easier to go for – you just got to win two games instead of three. But, yes, the downside is they will be playing 15 or 16 games a year.
Yeah. Attrition. Really,
so that is the downside.
Would Jimbo have fallen on the sword in 2014 if David Coburn was the athletic director then and said, "Hey, lose a Georgia Tech. We don't want a first round bye. We need a home game." Like, it's going to be a crazy battle inside of administration buildings. I mean, no one's going to lose on purpose.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, like.
Well, hey, man, in 2014, if they'd have lost to Georgia Tech, they might not have been in at all.
Yeah.
They might have fallen to 17th in the country the way they were being judged that year. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, man, it would. I don't know. Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, this, it's not just the school would need the money, because I don't know how you divvy up the gate with something like that where the school gets most of it or half of it or 15% or none of it. I don't know how that would work. I do know the city of Tallahassee would love it, and it would be great for the city. So yeah, maybe there will be times where, like, they'll tell Dabo to lose so they can be a 6 seed. And host the 10 seed.
Good problems to have, though. I mean, home college football playoff game. I just don't think we really can grasp the gravity of it until it has actually happened. It's going to be amazing.
I hope, man. I think it would be great. They're so sterile. All these playoff games, it's a lot of corporate sponsors in the great seats. I mean, you guys know how it is. They're like mini Super Bowls. Where, you know, how many Eagles fans are at the Super Bowl when the Eagles are playing? Not a ton. And if they are, they're up in the upper deck. It can be like that with these playoff games, too, in these 90,000-seat stadiums. So I just think that keeps a little bit of what the beauty of college football to me, to have that. And, again, the NFL has home playoff games, obviously. So it would be cool if college football had them, too.
Let's go to Derek.
But then what happens to the Rose? What happens to the Rose Bowl, Aslan?
What does happen?
What
to
happens
the Rose Bowl?
To the almighty Rose Bowl? That's what we all care about, right?
XDQ004, wake up! I somehow missed this post last week, but I'm back with another good question. Since this is recruiting season, I have a question regarding FSU recruits. I've gotten an answer from Langston on this, but would like to hear your thoughts. Before working at Warchant, who was the one recruit that you were excited to see get to campus? Second part, of course, since you have been working at Warchant, which recruit could you not wait to see to get to campus? He says Winky and Dalvin Cook. You didn't work for Warchant.
No.
Let's see here. Let me read that again. Second part of the question is, of course, since you have been working at Warchant, which recruit could you not wait time to see get to campus?
So I would say, you know, I was kind of into recruiting around 01 and 02, like those teams. So I would say Lorenzo Booker, you know, big number two player in the country. It was such a big deal that he chose on national. He was the first guy to do it.
Yeah.
To do the whole national TV, pick the hat up thing. And, you know, he was the number one running back in the country. So I would say Booker for pre-Warchant. And then post-Warchant, post working at War Chant, man, I don't know who. I mean, Derwin James.
Okay.
I was really interested in that. Is there anybody else that comes to mind right away? I mean, Dalvin for sure.
Yeah, Dalvin's the answer for you. Yeah.
Derwin James and Dalvin are both really good choices, I think. Mm. Just because the stories you heard about them.
Yes.
Florida State, you know, this is the life we live. This is the team we follow. They used to get 5 stars all the time. So it wasn't just that, oh, another 5 star's coming. It was the stories you heard about Derwin James, the way Jimbo talked about Derwin James before he even got here. I was like, man, I want to see what this dude is all about. And then Jameis, obviously, too. That's a good one.
Man, you weren't working at War Chant. That was the Democrat days.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about just being in FSU media. I guess that's what I was. I was just thinking about FSU media in general. Since War Chant, yeah, I don't know, man. Bailey Hawkman. hadn't been a lot of great choices since getting the War Chant. Travis Hunter.
There we go. Yeah, that's probably the answer. For me, I would say probably Ernie Sims. I got into recruiting in 2003, and I remember that was the first time I really followed recruiting in depth, and I was like, we've got to get this guy. Look at him. He's Adonis. He's a legacy. We need him. He can play everywhere. So probably him, and then since I've been working at War Chant, so since 2018, probably my guy Jay Williams. Really liked the offensive lineman, JUCO. Thought that was going to be a, you know, plug-and-play type. But such is life. Things don't always go our way. You got to learn.
I would say also for the old school listeners, Marquette Smith. He was the 91 USA Today Offensive Player of the Year. The 91 Defensive Player of the Year was a guy named Derek Brooks. They were both a part of that Florida State recruiting class. And, you know, Marquette Smith, they said he was like the next Barry Sanders. He was this incredible running back. And then he didn't play, I don't think, as a freshman. He played a little bit his next year, but then this kid named Warwick Dunn came along and kind of scooted him on to Central Florida. Or I think he had a nice career at Central Florida, but Marquette Smith wasn't the big super-duper star that we thought he was going to be. But that guy, I mean, that was the dude. I thought literally all Florida State fans were like, this is the Emmitt Smith. This is Barry Sanders all rolled into one. And it turned out it wasn't true. But still, that was really fun to think about when you're 15 years old or however old I was.
I'll give honorable mention to Fred Rouse. Sincere on that one, though. I thought Rouse was going to be like Randy Moss. Like, I was super stoked for Fred, and didn't work out either.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Let's go to Daryl. He's in Thomasville, North Carolina. Wake up, Corey and Aslan. Corey, have you noticed things seem different with this coaching staff compared to the last 1.5, Taggart, and the last couple of years of Fisher? We are bringing in 4- and 5-star players on campus. They may not sign, but at least we're getting them on campus and exposing them and FSU back into these recruits. I realize both of you have us winning around 6 or 7 games. I see games where FSU is going to be underdogs, and that's Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami, Florida. He left off Clemson. Personally, I believe with the transfers we have gotten out of the portal and with Mackenzie Milton starting a quarterback, possibly, Coach Atkins is going to have our offensive line better than last year. I believe we can win 3 out of those 4 because 2 are at home, and I believe we can steal 1 on the road. What say you? Keep in mind, Miami made a lot of improvements last year from the transfer portal. I think the guys we got are a little bit better. Besides, I don't believe FSU will choke the season away like Miami because FSU has better coaching. Would you agree or disagree? Have a great day, guys. Drink your DeLuna coffee. Sign up for warchant.com. Hit that thumbs up button. Go Noles. God bless, guys.
Daryl. I mean, I want to agree, Daryl. I really do. I just don't think that we have the proof necessarily to agree that Florida State has better coaching. I think they do, but it hasn't been proven. And right now it's just a thought. That is a good point. I mean, Miami, you know, I think the one difference, though, is Miami did hit the transfer market hard before the 2020 season. And they got some very, very impactful transfers, including like their starting quarterback, who was one of the top two or three in the ACC, and a first round pick at defensive end. I mean, they had a great kicker. They really knocked out of the park in the transfer. The difference is their defense wasn't one of the worst in the country in 2019. They weren't having to fix that much on the defense was still solid and would have been solid either way. Florida State is coming out of a dumpster fire. So that to me is the biggest difference. I do think the transfers from the Miami 2020 transfers and the FSU 2021 transfers are probably similar in both quantity and quality, but it's just, I think Miami's foundation was a lot more solid on the defensive side of the ball than Florida State's is. So that's where I wonder about a little bit of the comparison is different. Hey, I will say this though. So I was at the FSU basketball camp hanging out with our man Stan Jones, associate head coach.
Yes.
And I asked him if he had met Norvell. And coaches know, right? Even different sports, coaches know coaches. They know coaching. And anyway, I asked him if he had met Norvell because he said, man, that staff over on the foot at Moore is running you guys ragged this June, huh? And I'm like, well, yeah. Running the other guys ragged, but absolutely. It's every day and it's a barrage. And he started laughing. I'm like, the guy is intense. And he really knows what he wants to do. And I said, I think he knows what I was telling Stan. I was like, I think I like him. I think he knows what he's doing. And Stan said, well, you know, all my contacts in Memphis, he goes, he's got some people, you know, he's from Tennessee originally.
Right.
I think he grew up in Memphis.
Yeah.
He's like, they say he's the real deal. So that's good. I mean, again, that doesn't mean it's going to be 9 wins this fall, but the people that have worked with Norvell at Memphis, and right now the people, now I'm not talking about Stan Jones, other people in the administration and coaches that have held over really swear by Mike Norvell. So let's see what happens. But I do think the future is bright. Aslan, right?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like these guys that he's recruiting right now. I mean, some of these guys that we're seeing at the 5-star challenge, I mean, these are difference makers. These are, you know, building blocks that build you 10 wins and playoff appearances by the time 2023 rolls around. I will say this. I don't, you know, I shouldn't admit this probably. I don't know much about Miami's coaching staff right now. I know they got T-Rob, Travaris Robinson's back there. Their secondary's coach, I think. But I really like Alex Atkins. I think the jury is out on everybody else. I still love Odell. I mean, I don't know about Marcus Woodson. He seems to have good relationships. Travis Hunter seems to like him. That's important. We've talked about Adam Fuller on and on. You know, how much of this offense is Mike Norvell's? How much is Kenny Dillingham's? And, I mean, they got a good quarterback. Seems like an A.J. Duffy committed. But, I mean, you know, we'll see maybe if Mackenzie Milton can pick up this offense quickly or if Jordan Travis can make a big sort of jump here in this year. So, but, man, like I will go to the hilt for Alex Atkins. Like, if there was a expansion draft and some new school started, you can only protect one person on your team, like one player and one coach, not counting your head coach. Like Alex Atkins would be the guy that I would protect. So now these four games, your Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami, and Florida. I mean, I guess it depends what day you check in with me on this. I will laugh at you some days, and I'll be like, all right, maybe 3 out of those 4. I mean, you could beat Notre Dame, and if you beat Notre Dame, you're probably going to be able to beat North Carolina. And then Miami certainly, I mean, I don't know. Then I start talking out loud, and I'm like, Aslan, come on, man. You don't go from 3-6 to beating 4 solid to, you know.
No, yeah.
Great,
the best
playoff teams.
Absolute,
you know.
Yeah. The absolute best you can hope for is 2 out of 4. And I think that's probably a little bit overly ambitious just when you think about what those games looked like last year. Like, I know they didn't play Florida last year. What do we think that score would have been? 60-9?
Oh,
like,
stop. But, yeah, it would not have been. Yeah, it would not have been fun.
It would have been literally Florida could have scored 60 if they wanted to. Yeah. Duke put up 35, so double that. Florida could have scored every time they had the ball. They would have never punted. They just would have never punted. So, so you know, the I don't know that you can make up that gap so quickly, but I also don't think Miami was 42 points better than Florida State. But I guess that's what the scoreboard said. But I don't think beating Miami at home, I don't know what that spread will be, but you're talking about less than a touchdown. Miami's probably favored by less than a touchdown. We have no idea what Florida will be this year and what they will look like at the end of the year. You never know, right? You don't know. So I don't want to say it can't be done. And I, you know, North Carolina lost a lot too, but it's a tough game. I think, you know what we talked about on headlines today, Aslan, that I thought I'd get your take on, and Ira's point was the Florida State fan base's derision of the rest of the conference. And like, and I mean that like you, they look down upon the NC States and the Louisvilles and the Pitts, which is fair because of the history and tradition of the program and how this, this program started the conference off by winning whatever, 40 out of 41 games in eight straight conference championships. But you know, Florida State needs, it really needs a home field advantage against NC State. It really needs a home field advantage against Louisville. Those are very big games. In reality, they're probably bigger games than, let's say, Notre Dame, because let's just assume they're not going to beat Notre Dame. Well, man, they've got to beat Louisville and NC State at home. Those are very, very big games. Yeah. And Wake on the road. I mean, right? Those are the games. Yeah. Those really are. The Syracuses, the Boston Colleges. Those are the games where you know you're making strides. It's gross. I know, right? It's not fun to think about, but it's the reality of the reality of where this program is. But the point being,
go ahead.
Florida State, when you have season tickets, and again, I know I get paid to cover Florida State, so I'm not going to tell anybody how to spend their money or spend their time. But a lot of fans will get season tickets and be like, okay, I'm going to the Notre Dame game, and I'm going to go to the Miami game. And I'll try to sell the rest. Maybe I can go get up there, go down there for one more, which is fine. I get it. It's not an easy place to come. It's not an easy place to watch the game. The hotel prices are outrageous, all that. But, man, that Louisville game, they need you for Louisville. Like, you know, they could play Clemson this year at home and have 200,000 people in Doak. It will not matter. It would not matter. But if you have an almost sold-out crowd for Louisville and you treat that as an important game because it is for this current incarnation of Florida State football, man, that you could have a real home field advantage. They just don't – you know what I mean? I think Florida State fans have kind of looked down upon the Louisvilles and NC States and Syracuses of the world, as they should. But right now, that's who you're battling with. So let's get past them. Let's jump over that hurdle. And then we start, you know, maybe go back to the days where, okay, I'm not going to go down for the Duke game because I know we're going to beat them by 50 points.
Yeah. I mean, if you're like a Gator fan. Sense. Yeah. If you're a Gator fan, you're like, all right, I'll go to the Auburn game, the Tennessee game, Florida State game. Actually, I don't even know if they even played Tennessee. But there's like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, like, ew. But to your point, though, about the importance of a home field advantage, you know, we kind of forget 2019. Florida State beat Louisville, they beat NC State, and then proceeded to get blown out by both those teams with the new coaching staff. They lose those games in 2019 if they're at Louisville, if they're at NC State.
Yeah.
They probably lose those games, especially the Louisville game. Because the Louisville game, Louisville started rallying back late in the second half, which was the calling card for that team in 2019, just falling apart early in the season in the second half of games. So – yeah, man, home field, and listen, those 2019 games, nothing was rowdy. There was no game in Doak. Not even the Boise State game was rowdy. So, if anything, just having it in Tallahassee, which I guess goes counter to your point about having people actually in the stands, which that would help too, but just, yeah, we've seen the way they've played year over year with these different staffs being on the road, being at home. So, let's take back
Doak. Well, the reason I brought that up was because Daryl was talking about, you know, two of those games being at home. And I'm like, okay, well, it might not matter if Miami and Notre Dame are at home. You might lose those games no matter where they're played. But it really will matter for the teams that you're on the set. You have the exact same talent as or a little bit more talent than. And I just think, look, man, I know we're a Florida State-centric show. But, you know, as you talked about, right, Athlon has zero Florida State players on the first three teams, all ACC teams. I think you said that. Yeah, zero. It's not 1999 anymore, and Florida State Florida State is kind of right now in the in 2021, they're on the same level, they're on the same field as those teams. And they need to get past those teams and understand, okay, you get past these teams. Now we move on to the bigger fish. It's just, you know, it's been 20 years since Florida State dominated this conference. So maybe the mindset needs to change a little bit about how bad the ACC is. And the thing that bothers me, though, not bothers me, but I understand, is I grew up in Georgia. I grew up a Florida State fan in Georgia, and I know that where all the neighbors are. Like Auburn, yeah, Auburn might not have they might not have a great team, but they're going to have 80,000 people in their stands for every game. And they also have Alabama fans, LSU fans, Mississippi State fans. They all travel. ACC fans don't travel for jack. Except yeah. Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, Syracuse is going to bring nobody. Boston College will bring 20 people and their parents. So it lessens the atmosphere. But still, I know there's only so much the Florida State fans can do, but it has been really, man, almost 20 years, right at 20 years, starting in 2001. Florida State's won, I don't know, 4 outright ACC titles in 20 years. So it's not like they've been dominating this conference so long that you can just thumb your nose at the Boston Colleges and the Wake Forest of the world. Beat them. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it'd help if they actually had marquee players too, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Anyhow.
Well, all of it, man, all of it. Yeah. I do think Jim Phillips understands that football is priority one in this conference, and these schools better start caring, because they're just not going to be able to survive athletically if they don't start caring about football. But yeah, it goes from Packer and Durham, the ACC network, the Duke used to have to track around its field, but meanwhile Kay is driving a gold car. Like I think the schools are starting to get the idea that football needs to matter, every school, and it does. But like Wake and Boston College aren't jokes. We look at them as jokes, I think, or we have.
No, you're
not
right.
Jokes.
Yeah. No, they're
Pitt's not a joke. Louisville and NC State, they're not, you know, we're not talking about LSU and Alabama, but they're not jokes. They're bowl type teams. Appreciate winning those games.
HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning, everybody, and your grocery store trips, which that's the worst, right? Parking, carts everywhere. Mm. So you can enjoy your cooking and get dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. They offer over 27 recipes each week. Vegetarian, calorie smart, craft burgers, extra special gourmet options. I need to get involved in that one. There's something for literally everybody to enjoy. All these recipes designed, tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Go to HelloFresh.com/WakeUp12. You'll get 12 free meals with the promo code WakeUp12, and you'll get free shipping. And the shipping, again, it's like dry ice and huge coolers, and it's packed with love and care, I can assure you of it. And then keep the recipe card that comes in there. You can probably duplicate it yourself, but then you'll realize it's so much easier when you make the order and they give you everything pre-measured out and pre-cut. It's a beautiful thing. HelloFresh.com/WakeUp12. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's keep it moving on the ponies here, Corey. It is a Renegade Express edition of the program. We got a request here from Kurt OFD78. Wake up. Thanks for providing great listening on my way to and from work and while walking the dogs. I posted a request on the last thread from the show about seeing if you could get an interview with Josh Storms for the show. I believe he could be the team's unsung hero, given that he has now had a full winter and spring with them in the strength and conditioning program. I would be interested to learn about how some of the freshmen look, or how some of the freshmen are looking, and how some of the veterans are progressing. Thank you. Also, our friend from Hawaii, Ralph, love you, Ralph, also second that notion, wants to hear from Josh Storm. So, yeah, we'll set it up. Probably July, you know, but we'll set it up. We'll talk to him about stuff. who's rising, who's rising higher. You know, he's not going to tell us who's falling, but, you know.
I also wouldn't mind, Aslan, if you and I can and set up maybe a go into the gym with him, and he can show us something to maybe transform my body a little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now we're cooking with
and
gas.
We could, that, and wouldn't that be a good video content, too, on the War Chant channel on YouTube?
Absolutely.
Like Corey's quest to get a six-pack?
Oh, there we go.
And before, and I, you guys, you get to see the before and the after. Are you kidding me? I'd have to start shaving my chest again, but I don't care. I'll do it. I don't care anything for the channel. But yeah, I wouldn't mind like a 20-30 minute sit down with him where he tells me how to be healthier and get stronger.
Can you take constructive criticism though?
Like yeah.
Can you tell him
about my body? Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Like, it's not like I think that I'm, you know, Mr. Olympia over here. That's the thing, I'm sure. I'm not Lou Ferrigno over here, Aslan.
Yes, good. Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Look him up, kids. Look him up. All right, here we go. Last one. S. Quinn 67. Wake up. Reading a comment about recruiting in the past. I don't think we've ever had a problem getting 5 stars to be interested in us. The problem is at the end of Jimbo and through Willie's tenure, we were recruiting stars, but not balance. I think our coaches were more concerned with the ranking of the class than getting players in positions of need. Example,
yeah,
offensive line. We were not taking solid 3-star guys and replacing them with 4-star. We were taking solid 3-star guys and we were replacing them with 4-star defensive backs, even though we were loaded at the position. Jaden Lars would be, et cetera. So here's my question. I heard a podcast interview with a brand coach from Duquesne University. He is one of the first in the nation. I know we have been doing some NIL, that's name, image, and likeness, training with the athletes in this arena. Do you think we need to get ahead of this and have a position in the athletic department that can help athletes develop their brand? Ugh, that makes me want to vomit. But probably.
The question, the answer is absolutely.
Yeah.
And they probably do. There's no chance, none, that when these kids are coming on these recruiting visits, that they're not being told how Florida State can help them build their brand. It would be a dereliction of duty if they weren't. Maybe Nick Saban isn't telling kids that. Nick Saban doesn't have to. But when you're a team that's lost 55% of your games over the last 4 years, you got to pull out all the stops. And, you know, name, image, and likeness is here. It starts in like 2 weeks. Guys, you won't believe who we got to sponsor a War Chant. It's going to be incredible. It's going to knock your socks off. That's a joke, by the way. We don't have anyone, but we better get someone. But yeah, man, I that's definitely something you have to think about. It's not. Yeah, I get it. It's kind of cringy, but it's the reality, man. It's 2021. Like that's you better have somebody that these kids are going to want. They all got Twitter followers. They want to build that. They want to build their Instagram followers and their Snitch and Snat, whatever. I don't know the
Twitch,
other one. Switch, Twitch.
That was close.
Yeah,
close.
Not Snatch. is there an app called Snatch? Anyway.
There is now.
So, that's definitely something that has to be thought about. And that is clearly a very good point about the, I don't know if Jimbo was, I don't think Jimbo was ever like that concerned about stars when it came to the rankings, but their rankings got inflated. Because they would bring in, you know, so a couple great running backs or two 5-star running backs and a 5-star DB. Well, all right, we got 3 5-stars. That's awesome. But you're terrible in the up front. And that's not good. What, right? So, yeah, not all 5-stars are equal. They did not ever get a 5-star lineman, I don't think, while Jimbo was here. There aren't that many to begin with. But, yes, their recruiting rankings were ballooned a little bit because of 5 stars at the same. It was usually DBs and running backs were where the five stars they signed were.
I'm trying to look this up and I'm not being able to find it. Maybe I imagined it, but I swore I saw something about, like, I thought it was Saban in Alabama was going to add like a life skills coach almost to their staff, like a guy that was going to help like pretty much players get ready for like life after football, like not even just financial planning, which I know Florida State's had guys come in and do some seminars and things like that, but like a fully dedicated like guy or two where it's like, all right, man, we're gonna help you figure out what you want to do with things after football. Not academic advisor, like something else. And like, I'm all for that kind of stuff. But to your point, you have to, yeah, you got to get involved in this. I mean, they're gonna let kids start getting paid for their name, image, and likeness. So let kids figure out ways to maximize it, and you be the conduit that helps them figure that out, and they'll reward you by coming to your university. So,
well, let me ask you a question, Aslan, and I'm not besmirching any current recruits, any five-star recruits from the past, but don't you think some recruits and some of their families, maybe some of their handlers, quote unquote, have been interested in maybe a little money on the side for the school to get the services? I don't want to, you know, demean the sanctity of college football recruiting, but I think some money has changed hands. I think that could be a thing. Rush Probst, the Valdosta coach, he certainly laid out what he says Alabama is doing. So if you're a five-star kid and Florida State lays out all these ways that you can make money legally over the table and how they're going to build your brand, and they have this in mind for you, and they think you could get, I don't know, a Coke ad, or what's that scene from Jerry Maguire where the wife is like, the big four, the soda, sneakers, like Florida State has somebody like that. That's like telling you, this is what we see. This is what we see you getting your first year. If you have a good year, this is where we see you second year, where you can really build your brand and get money for this and maybe get a spot here and a spot there. If they really put time into it, and then you go to Florida and Dan Mullen's like, what are you talking about? I don't know, man, maybe there's a car dealership, and he's clearly not giving it any thought at all.
Right.
Don't you think that can sway some kids?
Is this what brings down Nick Saban, though? I mean, like, honestly, I mean, he's been able to adapt.
I think that sells itself for the time being until he retires. But I think when the other ones beneath, that's something you got to think about, man. It just is. And, you know, these players all know what's coming. Their families all know what's coming. And if Florida has no plan at all in place for your son to make money on his name, image, and likeness, and then Florida State has a comprehensive plan in place with a booklet, a packet, a presentation, a slide presentation, whatever you want, maybe even a PowerPoint. Think about that, Aslan, maybe a little PowerPoint action.
Yeah.
Then I think that would sway some people. You know, I think, because it looks like, whether it's all for show or not, it looks like the coaching staff really cares about you and you making money. And you making name off, as opposed to somebody like Dan Mullen, I'm just using that as an example, who hasn't given one thought to it. So anyway, something to think about.
Over under 5.5 Florida State football players will have some sort of money making NIL ability options this fall.
Over. I'm really interested in what they do with Twitter and how they monetize their social media.
Okay, you're right.
I think that's where it's going to be at first. That's where a lot of it is going to be. Is like, hey, go to so-and-so. They got the best burritos in town. And, you know, hashtag ad or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's where you'll see a lot of it at first.
Oh, gosh.
You and I should start doing that.
Could you imagine, like, Rashad? Like, you know, Rashad tweeting out before – you know, the Florida game or something, you know, big game tomorrow, got to rest up with mypillow.com, #ad.
Mm.
Bad.
I'm on my Helix mattress.
Yeah, you
got
know,
my Helix mattress,
like,
y'all.
Come on.
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been cool for Rashad to make some money like that?
I don't have any problem with them getting money, but like, not that. Like, just, I can see it, man.
Hey, man,
I see it happening, Corey. Oh.
That's where I think you're going to see a lot of it in about 3 weeks, my man.
Oh, gosh. What are we going to do? We're going to take advantage of it, hopefully, and we're going to get a really good spokesman for War Chant. We won't make him do anything too cheesy. And we'll start bringing some prestige back to this great university of ours. All right, Corey, I'm done. You have anything else to add? We're done for the week.
Florida State basketball had a big-time recruit on campus this week. Dariq Whitehead, I think his name is Dariq. Please be Dariq. He's the number 4 player in the country. He goes to the same school, Montverde, as Scotty Barnes. Played with Scotty Barnes a couple years ago, actually. And Florida State, I think, is one of his leaders, along with Duke. We know that he's there because he IG'd about it. He Instagrammed about it, tweeted about it. And then also, I did notice Florida State had literally had the red carpet out for him going into the locker room at the Civic Center. And Brady was my spy. I did not know he was on a visit, by the way. But Brady, I showed Brady when he got home from camp on Wednesday. I showed him the kid's picture, Whitehead's picture. And he's like, oh, yeah, I saw him. He was dapping up the players. He seemed to be having a good time. Nice. So there's your insider information on the Whitehead visit. Is my 12-year-old son saw him and said he dapped up some players and was smiling. So that's all you need, right?
Yeah. D-A-R-I-Q.
So anyway, I mean, there you go. It's a big deal when 6'8", right?
Yes.
But I mean, that's a big deal. He is the number four player in the country. So it's a big deal when he's on campus. And I think Duke and Florida State were like considered the two favorites. And it's like, well, you really want to go to K's, the first class that won't be coached by Coach K?
Actually 6'6", but carry on. Sorry, 6'6".
Oh, all right. He shrunk. Tough visit to Tallahassee. He shrunk a couple inches. But yeah, so that was that's big news to have him on campus.
Okay.
So we'll see if he commits and if they can get another great player from Montverde. And also, I did find out from Stan Jones, he actually did not tell me, kind of messed up. He didn't tell me anything about that visit. That I talked to him for 10 minutes. He didn't say anything about Whitehead too. I didn't even know he was on campus until I almost got back home. I didn't know. I knew they had a recruit on campus. I didn't know who it was. Anyway, the point being, he did say that I talked yesterday or the last show about how Raekwon Gray and Scotty Barnes are going to the NFL draft or the NBA draft combine. The MJ Walker and Balsa were invited to the G League combine.
Oh, all right.
So
there you go.
And Stan said that's how Terrence Mann got discovered, was he played really well at the G League combine and then got invited to the NBA actual draft combine the next week because he played so well at the G League combine. And then that's how he ended up getting drafted. So, you know, maybe something similar could happen to one of those guys.
Absolutely. We're surely rooting for it, man. We surely are rooting for it. All right. Check out warchant.com throughout the weekend for updates from the 5-star challenge. We hope to catch up. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, Corey. I just totally ruined all this. There was another call. I was going to say Julian Armella, and somebody actually asked about Julian Armella, and it was our dude. It was Dave in Kentucky. Bourbon is your friend. Can someone explain why Julian Armella would consider LSU over FSU? Sure, they won a national title 2 years ago, but they are clearly in decline, whereas FSU is on the upswing. LSU only won that title because of Joe Brady, and Kenny Dillingham is the new and improved Joe Brady. Frankly, I think Orgeron is Orgerated. Overrated.
Okay.
Aslan, could you complete this post in your Orgeron voice?
I scared them knows. I should have never scheduled that home and away. Never gonna see you. Never gonna see you the day that I'm Orgerated.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
It's still good, man. It's like riding a bike with you. That's impressive.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, we get to catch up with Julian Armella. He's supposed to be here in Atlanta, and we're certainly gonna try to catch him up. With a one-on-one, I think maybe that's cooling off a little bit too, because their offensive line coach got canned. I think he's now at Ole Miss or Arkansas, one or the other. Which we need to actually know that, because that offensive lineman from Oklahoma, Stacey Wilkins, is originally from Arkansas, and he was involved with Arkansas when he's originally being recruited. So need to figure out what's going on over there. But yeah, man, LSU. I think the bloom's off the rose a little bit, but. Oh, maybe he likes the way he looks in gold and purple. I think that's kind of what St.
Well,
Thomas Aquinas
colors. I mean, look, man.
Are.
Again, just I know we're off. We all follow Florida State, and everybody listening to the show is a Florida State fan, and we can say that LSU is in decline, which it certainly seemed to be the case last year. But Florida State did go 3-6, and got hammered by some mediocre teams. So you could understand where there might be some hesitancy, if that is a word. Yes. About coming to Florida State. There, you know, it's not like he'd be choosing Bowling Green over Florida State. I mean, LSU's done some things in this sport. But, yeah, you know, his dad, he is a legacy. So that you would hope would give Florida State a bit of a leg up.
Yeah, we'll ask him about it, and we'll report it over at warchant.com. It's the ultimate Semmel sports source. Promo code is warchant30. Use it. He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thanks so much for listening to us today and all week and all month and all year long here on Wake Up Warchant. It almost sounds like I'm signing off for the last time, but I'm not. We'll be back Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Come explore our world of coffee. Deluna Coffee features over 24 different blends. Deluna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit delunacoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.